With more attention on COVID-19 vaccine hesitancy, leaders explore how economies can reopen while people also stay safe. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. It's become a balancing act for world leaders who want to keep populations safe and businesses operational in the second year of the pandemic. New York State has introduced a voluntary digital pass showing proof of coronavirus vaccination status, while some European nations are going a step further. Today, Italy has rolled out mandatory use of a so-called green pass. It's digital proof the holder is fully vaccinated or has had a negative COVID test or recovered from the virus. Customers without it who are found eating out, working out, or enjoying a night out could face a $500 fine, and venues could be closed for up to 10 days. From Verona, the BBC's Mark Lowen reports not everyone is on board with the plans.
Well, the queues are forming outside the arches of this ancient Roman amphitheatre in Verona. The opera lovers coming here have their tickets scanned and their temperatures checked. But there's a new requirement to show the QR code of their green pass.
From theatres to museums, indoor restaurants to gyms, the green pass is now mandatory. And Deputy Artistic Director Stefano Trespidi says they must adapt.
Nobody taught us how to face COVID, you know. So at the beginning, we were afraid, we were nervous, we were anxious. Then, month by month, we solved new problem, giving new solution. And this, after 18 months, we built a little of self-confidence.
Polls show that about 70% of Italians support the compulsory green pass. But the opposition is vocal at rallies like this one in the city of Vicenza. It's gathered together healthcare workers and their supporters against mandatory vaccination and the threat of suspending them from hospitals if they refuse to be jabbed.
In Parliament, too, there were protests by far-right MPs forcing a session to be suspended. Fringe groups have turned some street demonstrations violent. It's got nasty for medics supporting the green pass, like Samantha Grossi, who plays me the WhatsApp death threat she received, evoking the Nazi trials at Nuremberg. Other messages were on Facebook calling her a murderer, and they came from colleagues.
I really felt in danger. What upset me most was that the threats were from health workers. They, like us, were heroes of the pandemic, and now some are no vax. I felt broken and thought about giving up everything, but then I realised I must go on and show they're the ones at fault.
At the arena, too, the show will go on, though with new checks for the Verdi aficionados. 18 months since this country became the first in the West to fall to the pandemic, the unity, the flag waving from balconies, the sense of we're all in it together seems like an increasingly distant act in Italy's COVID drama.
That's the BBC's Mark Lowen reporting from Verona there. Well, Italy's main share index is up 0.4% today. As we check the numbers now, that's as global stock steady ahead of the U.S. June jobs report. On the company level, shares of Indonesian e-commerce giant Bukalapak surged nearly 25% today in the country's biggest stock market debut. The company is valued at more than $6 billion. It's backed by giants Microsoft and Ant Group. Elsewhere, the Reserve Bank of India today kept interest rates at record lows. But as is the case with many global central banks, the RBI said it's keeping a close eye on rising inflation. The BBC's Arunade Mukherjee has more on that from New Delhi.
India is just about coming out from that devastating second wave, which also saw several localized lockdowns, which had hampered economic growth. One eye is on rising inflation rates. Petrol and diesel prices have shot through the roof. Prices of commodities, which are essential to the middle class as well as the lower middle class, is certainly on a higher level at the moment. The government and the RBI is also keeping an eye out on the need for economic growth as well. So that's the tough balance that they're trying to carry out.
So economic recovery from the pandemic, obviously a huge priority for not just the RBI, but central banks around the world. But alongside this, there's been lots of talk lately about central banks getting into cryptocurrencies. And earlier this week in India, it wasn't the RBI, but the prime minister who launched what's called the e-rupee. So just tell us what that is and how it works.
It's a digital voucher which helps government benefits reach directly to citizens. So this is essentially supposed to help primarily the unbanked Indian citizen. It's a trial. It's on a trial basis. So how this works, Victoria, is that basically a person will get an e-voucher or a coupon, which will have a QR code, which they can send via SMS. So there is no need for any kind of an online transaction. It's all in a database, in a digital infrastructure. The Indian government is already working on developing a central bank digital currency, and the launch of this e-rupee could help point out the gaps in digital payments infrastructure that essentially will be need to be plugged to ensure a successful sort of digital currency. So this is a step in that direction. And a digital currency, say experts, could do very well in a country like India because of the increasing acceptance of digital wallets. So there is quite a bit of appetite which they're looking to tap into.
The BBC's Arunaday Mukherjee for us in New Delhi. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
From India to southern Europe now, where wildfires have been tearing across the region this week. Today, Greece is braced for a resurgence as strong winds whip embers thought to have been contained. Thousands of residents in suburbs of northern Athens have been told to leave their homes as more than half of the 100 fires reported yesterday continue to smolder. Meanwhile, in North Korea, another natural disaster is forcing thousands of people from their homes. According to state media, days of heavy rain has led to widespread flooding, which has destroyed homes and large areas of farmland. It's a serious concern for the nation, which has a history of severe famine. The BBC's Laura Bicker has more on that.
The economic situation in the country is dire. The borders have been closed for over a year and a half. Major imports from China are not getting through. That includes food and medicine. We get reports from defectors' families who hear of massive food shortages, but it's very difficult to get an accurate picture. And last year, a series of typhoons and heavy monsoon rains wiped out large numbers of crops. The UN has already said North Korea is suffering from a shortage of 868,000 tons of food. That's about 3 months' worth. This year's crop is vital.
That's the BBC's Laura Bicker reporting from neighboring South Korea there. Well, for more of our coverage on extreme weather, I've tweeted a link. You can find me at Victoria Craig. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.